Ms. Bronson, how would you characterize the problem of food insecurity in Northern Ontario?
Oh, well, it's a national emergency, and not just in Northern Ontario, but right across the North. And I'm not the only person to say so. For example, the Council of Canadian Academies came out with a report a couple of years ago extensively documenting the problem. So the study we've put out today is really just a snapshot of a problem that is really, really serious across Northern Canada, with levels of food insecurity reaching as high as 70%.
What did you find in terms of food costs specifically?
So what we did is we drilled down in three different communities along the James Bay coast in Northern Ontario, and we did a participatory food costing. So that meant that consumers, people who are regularly going to those stores to get food, actually measured the cost of food on those days. And what's particular about these communities is that there's a single store that's very dominant in terms of the commercial exchange of food. Doesn't, of course, deal with hunting and gathering and many other ways in which people can procure food in those communities. What we found is what we find across the North: extremely high prices. And when you sort of set those up alongside the average incomes of people in those communities, you find that they've got to spend over 50% of their income on food were they to eat what is considered by the guidelines put out by the Government of Canada a nutritious diet. That's about five times more than people, for example, in Toronto would pay for their food. It would be maybe 10% of their income or 15% of their income. So that's a very serious problem. And the only problem is not cost. There's a problem of the quality of food, of the availability of food. And all of this comes under a program that is developed by the federal government called Nutrition North Canada. And it is meant to bring down the prices of healthy food. But as our study shows, it's not working, and the prices of food are still too high. There's still many, many problems with the way that program is administered.
Why is food so expensive in these regions?
Well, because they're sourcing a great deal of it from southern communities, and transportation is expensive, and many of these communities are fly-in communities. There's no working roads for most of the year that go into these communities. Only when there's ice is there working roads. However, it's a little bit like the rest of our food system. Were we to focus a little bit more on local provision of food, we'd have potentially a much more reasonable cost and a much more vibrant local economy.
What do you mean, local provision of food?
Just getting food closer to where it comes from. So, like, for example, one of the things that's not subsidized in Nutrition North guidelines is hunting and fishing equipment. And yet we know that would be a good source of protein, as well as a way of getting food that is more traditional to the communities that live there. And that's particularly apparent in places further north, like Nunavut, where the traditional diet has had nothing to do with the frozen broccoli and milk products that are found in the Nutrition North guidelines. So really, I think what we're hearing from Indigenous people across the country in this new era of nation-to-nation relations with the federal government is they want more control over their own food systems, and they want to restore traditional livelihoods and traditional knowledge. In many instances, we refer to that as food sovereignty, and it's very, very similar to what people in other parts of the world are asking, be it in Mali or in France or in the Philippines.
What did the government try to do, and why didn't it work?
What they did was try to bring down the cost of food by giving money to the retailer. And the retailer enjoys a virtual monopoly in the community. So there's no real guarantee that that's going to get adequately passed on in a transparent fashion to the consumer. And it also leaves us in this very strange situation where if you have a mother who's got four hungry kids to feed, she doesn't get a special subsidy. But the store owner who's selling goods and has a basically captive market does get a subsidy. So The system is quite upside down. And one of the things that Prime Minister Trudeau instructed the Minister of Indigenous and Northern Affairs to do in October was to fix this program. So the government is now having some consultations and looking at how to fix it, and we hope that they'll be listening to some of the recommendations in our report, and especially listening to people across the North who have a lot to say about what's not working in this program and what else we need in order to get levels of food insecurity down and to get a more sustainable and more sovereign food system for Indigenous communities.
Thank you so much for telling us about this.
Okay, you're welcome.